St. Matthew.
Jesus
began to reproach the towns where most of his mighty deeds had been done, since they had not repented. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would long ago have repented in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. As for you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will go down to the netherworld. For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
For the last 6 days at daily Mass, we have focused on Jesus' instruction to the apostles as he was sending them out as lambs in the midst of wolves, the type of welcome they would receive from those with peaceful households, and the type of rejection they would receive, and for which he was instructing them to wipe that dust off the bottom of their sandals, not take that resentment to the next town. Jesus described that they would be dragged into civil courts, they'd be dragged before religious leaders, but that everyone who welcomed them would welcome him. So those were his instructions. And at the very end of yesterday's passage, it tells us that Jesus himself, as he was sending out the 12, he himself went out to preach. Today we see the type of welcome Jesus wanted to receive and didn't, even in those places that were called his town, the places wherein he had worked so many of his greatest miracles. Woe to you. And woe is not so much an expression of anger or sadness. What a pity, Chorazin. What a shame, Bethsaida. If what he had done there had been done, he said, in the debauched Phoenician towns of Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented. Capernaum, where Jesus had worked most of his miracles in Galilee, the multiplication of loaves and fish, the healing of the paralyzed man, the stretching out of the withered man's hand, the healing of Simon's mother-in-law, everybody who was bringing their loved ones and were waiting at the gate, and he healed from after the sundown on the Sabbath day all the way very long into evening. All of that had taken place in Capernaum. But instead, they hadn't welcomed him as he wanted to be welcomed. And what was that welcome? To embrace him at a level in which they repent and receive the kingdom. Jesus sent out the 12 with the message to proclaim his kingdom. And that kingdom, as we pray every third luminous mystery, that kingdom is embraced when we turn our life around and live by the standards of the kingdom. It always involves conversion. It always involves repentance. And life had gone on as normal, including, we can presume, for most of those who had been healed by Jesus. The welcome Jesus always wants is a new life. That's the gift he wants to give. And how unfortunate it is when he doesn't get that type of welcome. In today's first reading, we see this image of welcome versus rejection being played out in Egypt 1,300 years before Jesus. Pharaoh, with his hardened heart, was rejecting what God wanted to do. Moses' mother knew that God had given her that gift of Moses, so she was going to trustingly give that gift back to God when, as a three-month-old, he had a death sentence. And God, in saving Moses from the water, was prefiguring in his own redemption what he would do for all the Jews from the waters of the Red Sea. Moses' mom shows us how to welcome and always receive as a gift. Sisters, you obviously take this first passage very seriously. We're in a culture in which there are still many hardened hearts that reject the message. So many like Pharaoh who are encouraging moms to kill their babies. But you are like that basket of bitumen and pitch. You're like Moses' mom or Moses' sister or even Pharaoh's daughter in helping people to be able to save these children. Welcome versus rejection, it is that battle between the culture of life and the culture of death. The way we receive well this gift, Mary teaches us. Today, as we celebrate her feast of Our Lady of Macomo, we remember how well she received Jesus in, as St. Athanasius would say, before she had ever conceived him in her womb, she had conceived him in her heart. Jesus praised her after the anonymous woman lauded her womb and her breasts. She was praised by Jesus for being one who heard the word of God and observed it. She was the one who heard and changed her life as a result of it. In her case, she didn't need to turn away from sin, but she could constantly turn more and more to the Lord in her will. So she shows us what that's like. To wear her scapular signifies three things. First, a real belonging to her. We enter under her mantle. We try to garb ourselves with her own virtues. Second, we consecrate ourselves to her. We entrust our future to her continued prayers. And third, we seek to follow her example, especially that example of receiving her son with the welcome he wants and allowing him to turn our life right side up. Today, as we celebrate this Mass, Jesus does not want to say, "Woe to you, Manhattan," but he wants to praise us as he praised his mom for hearing his words and living them. This is what it means to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And if we do, judgment will be the greatest day of our life.